In This League presents the NFL Draft Prospect Podcast.
You like that? You like that?
In This War Room.
Hug it, chug it, football.
Here's your host, Scott Bogman.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to In This War Room. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, if you would. We'd appreciate it. We are going to be talking quarterbacks today on the show, and I have a guest, a new guest that we haven't had before, Tim Jenkins from Jenkins Elite. You can follow him on the Twitter, at TJenkinsElite, and he is a quarterback. He used to play quarterback in the NFL. He was on the Rams practice squad for a little bit, played in the CFL. Now he teaches quarterbacks, so it's going to be a pretty good look at this class of quarterback. So that should be a lot of fun, that conversation. But I think before we talk about the quarterbacks in this class, because we've already broke down the big ones a lot, you know, my list, I'm obviously going to have Trevor Lawrence at the very top. Not a surprise to anybody. My second was a tough one to decide between. I am going to have Zach Wilson. I almost called him Luke Wilson from BYU as my two. Justin Fields is my three. I think all of those guys are upper echelon franchise level quarterbacks. I think they're all going to be very good, very successful in the NFL. And, you know, for fantasy, you know, Zach Wilson can run a little bit. Justin Fields can run a lot. Trevor Lawrence can run a lot. They're going to be very, very valuable in fantasy as well. So the next step down are first rounders. Who else is in the first round? For me, it's Trey Lance and Mac Jones. That's it. I think for fantasy, I'm going to have Trey Lance ahead of Mac Jones. And I like Mac Jones. I think he's closer to ready today to start for a team. But Trey Lance offers us way more upside because he has got some real wheels. So Tim will make some arguments about how he likes Mac Jones over Trey Lance, and about some of the arguments that, you know, the gap between, specifically the gap between Mac Jones, you know, playing at the SEC and playing against SEC defenses, even though he had amazing weapons, is not as big as the gap that Trey Lance had playing against some of these FCS schools with the teammates that he had and the weapons that he had in his offense. After that, you know, just a quick synopsis of the rest of the quarterbacks. I think Trask and Newman are probably second rounders. Maybe Newman drops to the third, but Trask is definitely going to go in the second round. And after that, I think there's kind of a lot of projects. I know a lot of people are high on Kellen Mond. He's okay. He's got some problems with just some bonehead throws. You know, I love my guy Sam Ehlinger, but he is a spitting image of Tim Tebow to me. Probably a little more upside, a little better arm, but not much better. And he plays very, very similar. Felipe Franks has all the size, 6'6" out of Arkansas, but he got kicked around, you know, Trask being out in Florida. I don't know that he's going to be very good. I think Davis Mills looks a lot like Andrew Luck and has the same type of drop back, and he's played in pro sets and stuff. So that has a lot of people in favor of him out of Stanford, but I'm just not going to be a guy that's in on Davis Mills, because I think the Andrew Luck comparison begins and ends with just how they set their feet. You know, I don't think that Mills is anywhere close to what Andrew Luck was. The rest of this class, I mean, there's a lot of, there's some athletic guys. Ian Book, obviously a big athletic guy out of Notre Dame. Zach Thomas, a great running quarterback out of App State. KJ Costello's got all the size at 6'5". Peyton Ramsey was a pretty good leader for a while. These are all project quarterbacks to me. So, and here I am. I said we got to start by looking at the current outlook, and I'm talking about the draft class. But that's kind of where I have my mind set up. It's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. Those are the top three. Two other first rounders in Lance and Jones. Two second rounders in Trask and Newman. After that, probably Mond, probably Mills. Maybe you throw a Shane Buechel in there. But after that, it's all project guys. So I don't, you know, outside of the top five that are very, very good, there's just not a lot to get excited about in this class. Like, if you want to be excited about Trask, who is a bit of a statue, That's fine. I know our guest, Tim, really, really likes Jamie Newman, so we'll talk about that in a little bit with him. So let's take a look at the rest of the NFL, and I kind of broke the teams into teams that need a starter, teams that need a backup, teams that don't really need anything at quarterback, and teams that need a long-term replacement. I mean, the long-term replacement teams are not hard to figure out. It's Atlanta with Matt Ryan there, Tampa Bay with Tom Brady there and no one backing him up, and Pittsburgh, because this is it for Roethlisberger. So not surprising to see those guys. I mean, there are other old quarterbacks, but most of them have at least, you know, Aaron Rodgers got Jordan Love. You know, there's other guys in there. Matt Stafford is older, but they like John Wolford. You know, so there are other older quarterbacks, but I think those are the ones that really need to answer the question sooner rather than later. In terms of teams that need a starter, not that surprising. You're not going to be surprised by any of the teams that are on this list. Jacksonville, obviously, and they're going to take Trevor Lawrence one. So that's kind of over and done with. Carolina, I only say Carolina because they don't seem to like Teddy Bridgewater. You know, I was reading the most recent thing that Matt Rhule said, and it was, as for Teddy Bridgewater, he's our quarterback. In NBC Sports Edge now, they said that this reeks of Josh Rosen is our guy. And it really does, because the Panthers have been kicked around, you know, offering their entire team to get Deshaun Watson. You know, it's not going to be a surprise when they make a move to trade up to get a quarterback they like, or if they trade for a different franchise quarterback. So Carolina is definitely a team that needs a starter. Washington, we know Alex Smith is gone. They don't even have, they just have no one to fill in that starter. I was about to say they don't have good backups, but Kyle Allen's good. Taylor Heineke now has experience, but these aren't guys, especially with that defense and a team that is willing to and ready to win right now. Terry McLaurin's great. Seems like they solved some of those quarterback problems. They franchised their guard, Brandon Scherf. So they have pretty much everything. This is the true definition of a team that is a quarterback away. So I expect Washington to make a move. I think Mac Jones is kind of their guy. You know, they've drafted a lot of players out of Alabama in the past, and I think that he's going to be the guy that they can trade up for, not give away, you know, the next 3 years worth of picks. And Mac Jones can be ready to start immediately. So I think that's kind of where I see them going. Chicago, Mitch Trubisky is an unrestricted free agent. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of rumors right now as far as them potentially getting Russell Wilson. And that would be amazing. But we've also seen, you know, many articles that say that's a pipe dream and it's never going to happen. So I expect them to re-sign Trubisky and go with him for a year. So we'll see if that happens, or if they maybe get in the Deshaun Watson race. Who knows? Houston is right now saying that they are not going to be dealing Deshaun Watson, which is the exact same thing I would do if I was Houston. So I kind of tend to believe them. The other three teams here, New England, Cam Newton didn't work last year. I know they just re-signed him and he's going to be back for another year. Hated it. Didn't work. Don't know why they re-signed him. It's really weird to me. So he's working out with the wide receivers already. And we do have to remember, look, Cam Newton is not far removed from being a good quarterback in the NFL. And he didn't have a lot of time. You know, the Patriots kind of, they kind of screwed around last year in the offseason with bringing him in, because they had a chance to bring him in way earlier than they did. And he could have got a sense of the playbook. He could have got a sense of his teammates at least a little bit before going into the year. No preseason games, you know, very few practice reps. I understand it was a tough year for anyone, but there were games, you know, against Seattle. And I know Seattle had a terrible, terrible, no good, horrible defense at that time. But he threw for 300 yards. And he looked good throwing the ball. So I don't know why they didn't incorporate a little bit more of that moving forward. Obviously, New England also in a, you know, spot where they really, really need some playmakers. So there's a lot. It's not just quarterback. And I don't want to blame the whole thing on Cam Newton either. A whole offseason is going to definitely help him, but it's just not, that's not my answer if I'm New England. And to be fair, we have heard that New England has been scouting all the quarterbacks hard. So they may find a diamond in the rough. This is the same team that drafted Tom Brady. So maybe there's someone they like late. Maybe there's someone that they want to trade up for. Don't know right now, but New England definitely needs a starter, in my opinion. New Orleans, as I'm recording this today, Drew Brees retired, so he is done. Jameis Winston is a free agent. They did just, and it looks like a huge deal, they did just give Taysom Hill a ton of money. But it's not guaranteed. Pretty much, they gave him a four-year, $140 million deal. In my opinion, this is how this looks. If Taysom Hill becomes the starter, they can lock him in, and $140 million for a quarterback in today's NFL is not terrible. It's a middling deal. And if he doesn't become the starter, they can cut him and the rest of the deal is voided. He got a nice signing bonus and everything to restructure this year. The Saints were desperate for restructuring. But now, I think after that and with Brees retiring, they should be right around the cap number, 182.5. So they should be right there. Also, in my opinion, the last team that I think absolutely has to have a starter, Denver. I don't think Drew Lock is good enough for the NFL. I think maybe if you're going to give him more time, but do you want to wait? You know, we all know what the NFL stands for, not for long. And it's not a move that I'm going to be making if I'm Denver, is handing the reins to Drew Lock. I think this is kind of why John Elway stepped out of that GM position as well. Let somebody else take care of it. So he can't get blamed. He has hit and miss with so many quarterbacks. Drew Lock is better than like a Paxton Lynch, which was a huge whiff, but he's not for me. I don't think Drew Lock is going to make it in the NFL. So I would be looking for a starter if I'm Denver. Then we get into the teams that need a backup. Atlanta has no one right now. The Giants have Clayton Thorson as their backup. Andy Dalton's a free agent, so Dallas doesn't have a backup. They have Cooper Rush. Philly literally has no one, so they got to get someone. And Philly, they're kind of on the borderline of teams that need a starter. Not for me or my opinion. I think Jalen Hurts is the guy. And I don't think you trade Carson Wentz unless you are 100% sure that Jalen Hurts is the guy. So I think he's the guy. I think that they just need to be drafting a backup at this point. But there are many mocks that have a quarterback either falling to them or them moving up a couple spots to get a quarterback that they really like. I don't see that happening. So we'll see. Now, I put Detroit on this list only because they're getting a ton of calls about Chase Daniel, and I think they kind of need to take whatever they get for him. You know, Chase Daniel is a good NFL caliber quarterback, backup quarterback, you know, but the guy's ridden the bench forever. And if, you know, we don't expect the Lions to be good this year. And I don't think anybody does, because you can't replace the entire defense in one season. So they have parts on offense, but they didn't franchise Kenny Golladay. So they have to spend some draft capital on some wideouts. I think you trade Chase Daniel, you get whatever you can for him. And if that is what they end up doing, then they got to get a backup. Minnesota has nobody. Tampa Bay has nobody. Arizona has Strevler, whatever his name is, nobody. Buffalo has Fromm. Don't think he's going to make it. They need a backup too. Miami has nobody. They need a backup. Baltimore has Trace McSorley. Look, I think the fit is good. I think the fit is good behind Lamar, but RG3 is obviously better. He's an unrestricted free agent. Maybe he just resigns for a minimum deal. I don't know. They need a backup. Cincinnati's a borderline one for me, because I kind of like Ryan Finley, and I think he could be a good NFL backup, but he's so young, he shouldn't be backing up Joe Burrow. If you think you can win, then you need somebody better than Ryan Finley backing up Joe Burrow. You need to bring somebody in that can sit behind Joe Burrow just in case, A, he's not ready for the regular season, and B, he just got hurt. You know, who is to say that he can't get hurt again? So they need a backup. Houston has nobody, and who knows what they're going to do with Deshaun. I think he stays in Houston. A lot of people are thinking that he's going to end up getting traded before the season starts, or before, you know, the draft, or during the draft. I think if he gets traded, it's at least before the draft. I can't see him getting dealt during the draft. So they got to get somebody to back him up. Indy only has Jacob Eason now, and Tennessee has Logan Woodside. So that'd be, what is that, 15 teams that need a backup quarterback. These are the teams that I identified that don't need anything. San Francisco, which, look, you know, I'm not saying that they can't upgrade from Jimmy G. What I'm saying is if you're going into the draft, Jimmy G is your quarterback. You don't need to spend any picks on a quarterback. You have decent quarterbacks on your team. The Rams don't need anything, like I mentioned before, with Stafford. Cleveland behind Baker, you know, they're okay. Kansas City, Chad Henne, I think is good enough to get the job done. So I think, you know, if you're Kansas City, especially with Mahomes having the enormous contract, you got to start filling out starters with cheap options. I think I'd rather do that and spend a veteran minimum deal on a backup quarterback if I don't like Chad Henne or if I think I'm bringing in someone to push Chad Henne. Vegas doesn't need anything. They've got Carr and Mariota, and they're getting calls on Mariota. And then the Chargers don't really need anything. In my opinion, I like Easton Stick. Maybe they want to get someone better than Easton Stick, but it's Herbert as the starter. I think Stick is good enough as the backup. So here is what makes the waters murky for the rest of those quarterbacks that aren't the top five. There are a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be hitting the free agent market. So like I said, we have 15 that need a backup. We have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I said, that need a starter. And they're starter-level quarterbacks. Trubisky, free agent. Jameis Winston is a free agent. Jacoby Brissett has started a ton of games. Alex Smith is a free agent. I'd probably put him more in the backup. You want him as a backup, but he can get. He took Washington to the playoffs last year. And Tyrod Taylor, who everybody forgets about, still available. So, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's 1,000 years old, but that's six. That's six, and I said seven teams need one, and we know Jacksonville is taking one. We know, you know, I forgot to put the Jets on this list. I would put the Jets under don't need anything right now because of Sam Darnold, but, you know, they could flip him and take Zach Wilson. Whatever it is, they're going to have a starter. So I just forgot to mention them on this list. I apologize. But, you know, Atlanta is going to be in there. We know Carolina is going to want one. So New England could go sign Jacoby Brissett. Remember, he's a former Patriot. Chicago could decide they are done with Trubisky and go sign Brissett, and then Trubisky goes somewhere else. So there's enough experience here at the starter level that not all these teams are going to actually need starters, and some of these guys are going to be backups. So backup level, I think there's a lot here too as far as free agents go. A.J. McCarron, Andy Dalton, Colt McCoy, Robert Griffin, Matt Barkley, Blaine Gabbert, Mike Glennon, Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown, who might retire, we're not sure. Blake Bortles, CJ Beathard, Nick Mullins, Geno Smith. These are all guys that have experience in the NFL and have played backup for a long time. So you're going to get a lot of those guys signing and filling up some of those backup spots that we just mentioned. And then the meh guys, the guys that are free agents, but I don't know if anyone's going to really want to take a shot on. Flacco's done. We have Ryan Griffin, Sean Mannion, Brett Hundley, Nate Sudfeld, Jake Ruduck, Josh Dobbs, and Tim Boyle, all in that mold of free agents that, you know, these are probably quarterback threes, maybe get them some practice squad games or, you know, put them on the practice squad or get them preseason games, you know, that fourth game to kind of get some film for their bio and everything, see if they're good for somebody else. But there's a lot on the market. So there's a lot of teams that need stuff, but there's a lot on the market. And I expect a lot of these guys to kind of sign better minimum deals. There's so many teams without money anymore and compete. So maybe these guys want too much money, or these teams are going to decide, hey, look, we'll just take a rookie. And if we have to go there, we'll go there. Because the salary cap is weird, that is definitely a possibility. But I kind of wanted to go through that before we talk to our guest, Tim, here. So, you know, there's a lot of backup jobs, which is good for this class, but there's a lot on the market, which isn't good for this class. So, like I said, it's the top five, then Newman, Trask, everybody else is very, very developmental, and I don't really want my team. So, without any further ado, here is my interview with Tim Jenkins. Welcome back, everybody, to the In This League War Room. And I have a new guest that we've never had on before. Very excited to have this gentleman on, Tim Jenkins. You can see him on the Twitter at TJenkinsElite. Go to JenkinsElite.com. And Tim, I will just let you explain what you do for everyone so they understand who you are.
I mean, it's a complex question, but my actual job is training quarterbacks. And, you know, I played a little bit in high school, played okay enough to go to college, and then okay enough to get signed by the Rams. And so I was there for a year and then up in the CFL for a year. And when you get fired from all of it, you just start coaching. And so I lucked out, and I was going to sell insurance, but I ended up, you know, working with a kiddo and fell in love with it. And so now we have two locations in Colorado, one in Phoenix, and then one down in Houston, Texas. So it's grown, and I've been lucky to surround myself with a lot of really great coaches. So I feel like my game is always getting better and better. And then now recently I've gotten into, you know, breaking down quarterbacks, and a radio guy out in Denver had asked me to break down Drew Locke. And so it started out as I was just going to have some fun, broke him down on the radio. I just offhandedly say a lot of stuff like, you know, hey, he struggled on the subway concept. He didn't see the post-snap rotate. You know, I just would say something, and then people would be like, dude, like, what does that mean? So I started doing the
it's like a different videos. Language. Yeah.
So I started doing the videos, and, you know, listen, I'm so dumb. I just uploaded them on YouTube, and I didn't know you could get paid from YouTube or anything like that. And then before I know it, we had some good amount of subscribers, and some people approaching us to like advertise. And I was like, what the heck is going on? So recently I started doing the breakdowns, and it's been a ton of fun. I just, honestly, I love football so darn much. And I think the game is so awesome when you get to really, really learn it. So Sundays make a little more sense. So I've just enjoyed being able to teach the game and hopefully make it more fun for people when they watch it.
And that's why, like, your positivity and the way you describe these guys, and even when you're describing the things they do bad, you know, it's YouTube and Twitter and social media. So you have to say, like, hey, look, I'm not saying this guy can't fix this. I'm not saying he's bad, or I'm not rooting for him. I want all these kids to succeed, but this is what he does bad, and this is why I wouldn't take him here, you know, however it's being said. So, and you know, we're a fantasy show and in this league, you know, I asked you before, you're like, I don't do fantasy. I'm not a fantasy guy at all. But that is good, because I think you can kind of look at this, because if you go through fantasy rankings, you know, every single person that drafts, you know, if you're in a dynasty league or whatever, you're looking for a quarterback this year, there's a ton of good ones. But Trey Lance is going to be over Mac Jones in every single person's draft, because the dude can run. You know, Mac Jones is a bit of a statue. Kyle Trask is a bit of a statue. So they have more upside to get you more points because they also run, which is why Lamar Jackson is so high. Josh Allen is so high in rankings and all that stuff. So, but I wanted to get your take from looking at these guys and how quickly they can succeed in the NFL. And the very first one is, of course, Trevor Lawrence. And in your video breakdown, the red flag for him was processing. I obviously don't have your eye, but I also saw that he didn't make a lot of adjustments pre-snap, at least in the cutups that I watch, because I don't get the full, you know, the full tapes that you do with all of the different angles and everything. So it didn't seem like he had a lot of success manipulating things pre-snap. And, you know, during the playoff game that he was in this year, there was a lot of stuff. His offensive coordinator, of course, had COVID. You know, so the first couple drives they had were scripted. They scored two touchdowns. They didn't do much scoring after that, after they had to make adjustments. So that was kind of a big thing that I was watching for him. And a lot of people say, you know, this is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, who was the best prospect quarterback prospect since Manning, since Elway, and on down the line. So I know you have a little different opinion of that. So let's hear your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, and do you have fear of him taking that next step in the NFL?
Yeah, well, the first thing I should say too is it's not that I don't play fantasy. I'm just pretty terrible at it. So it's not, you know, my buddies, I think I'm in two or three leagues with a bunch of friends, which I think is the way to do it, right?
I mean, you give me the real rankings, and I'll give you the nerd rankings, and we can feed off each other. Let's do that.
I'm happy now I have a contact point to be like, dude, I need your help. Because I'm notorious for drafting two tight ends because I like 12 personnel, right? I like it from a scheme. apparently it doesn't pay to have a blocking tight end in fantasy. So that's
no, it doesn't. But we're not at the point where we're getting points for that yet. So
yeah, listen, I think Trevor Lawrence is an interesting case study because Trevor Lawrence is sold as generational. Don't even talk about him. He's the best prospect we've ever seen, but none of his tape backs that up. His tape backs up his generational talent, right? But no, because we have Pat Mahomes in the league. So right. You can't have once in a generation guys 3 years, 3 years apart. So
the generational thing gets thrown around way too much.
It gets thrown around. It's like, and it doesn't make sense because he does make great throws. But when you compare him to a guy, say Andrew Luck, John Elway, Andrew Luck went basically 2.5 years without busting a PSL read. And a PSL is just think, hey, 2-shell, we're going to look to the right. 3-shell, we're going to look to the left. That's overly simplified, but that's what it is. And Andrew Luck went basically his whole college career never busting one of those. Trevor Lawrence did it on 3 plays against Wake Forest. So I don't think that, you can't say he's Andrew Luck. You could say it from like, oh, wow, look at all his skill set. And his skill set is impressive, and that's something to remember. But he's not – I don't foresee him picking up the NFL game at an expedited rate. He'll get thrown in right away. Yeah. I worry about what it looks like year one. He has every tool to be successful. And with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, I could see their scheme being really simplified. Unfortunately, we saw what a simple scheme did to Cam Newton in Carolina, which is, wow, we can have some success early. And then the great analyst quote, defenses catch on, right, and he struggles. Well, they don't catch on just when you're simple, right? And yeah, and you have a veteran safety back there. He'll recognize everything. So that's where, for me, I'm not as sold on Trevor Lawrence as maybe others. I have him at QB2. I think, which obviously means I think he's a good player. I just right. don't think he's this generational, untouchable talent that we've been sold.
Do you have, because when I was watching the Justin Fields tape, which was my favorite breakdown that you've done, by the way, is Justin Fields. But you didn't trash the Ohio State offense as much. You said you just don't like the concepts that they run. Ryan Day, obviously a disciple of Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer taking over in Jacksonville. Everyone is assuming that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick because, we've been talking about him for the last 3 years as being the number one pick in this draft. Probably going to happen. So does that amplify your worries for Trevor Lawrence going into a more simplified scheme that Urban Meyer ran at Ohio State?
Yeah, it'd be one of those that I think, from a fantasy perspective, again, let me give you a completely uneducated fantasy perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, it would lead me to maybe think he could have success year one, possibly.
Okay.
But I wouldn't see him as a long-term solution. I don't have a ton of confidence in what they were doing at Ohio State. I would guess that Urban's not going to really do what he did at Ohio State. I would think of it more like Chip Kelly, where it's, hey, here are some principles that we have and how we believe in building our organization. But we know we have to, pro-ify our game and our schematics for, at sake of not having a better word for it. That's what I would guess we're going to get. But man, I don't know. If they do end up running what they ran at Ohio State, I think Trevor Lawrence will not look great and Jacksonville will be picking number one again in the next 3 years.
And maybe get a new coach in there fairly quick too. Urban Meyer will have those health issues all of a sudden again. So, which didn't make sense to me. I thought he was great on Fox, doing the college stuff. And then, I know that there's always the call, right? You want to go back in and all that stuff. But the NFL, I have said this, that maybe Jacksonville is one of the few NFL teams that doesn't have as much pressure as Ohio State does at the college level. But it's still the NFL, and it's still, they're going to add an extra week on. It looks like this year it's 17 weeks of that grind. Yeah. That's going to be a lot on him. So I don't know how long he's going to be the coach there, but hopefully he makes it work. Speaking of Justin Fields, I feel like he has an incredibly high ceiling, one of the higher in this class. This is a good class of quarterbacks. He has some absolute dime throws, especially deep. He moves incredibly well in the pocket. You highlighted that on your video with the Matador plays, and he's a great runner. He has shortcomings in some decision-making, as you pointed out. Is there like a team or coach that you would like to see him end up with in kind of like that realistic window of where teams are drafting?
I mean, that's you're going to get mad at me because I have no darn idea. Like, listen, I don't know where anyone's really picking. I learned Atlanta was in the top five last night.
Yeah, they're four. Jets are two. The Panthers are seven. Denver is at nine, I think. So that's kind of the window you're looking in.
The thing that I would tell you, scheme wise, and it's not going to happen, but he would be so good in Arizona. But they have Kyler Murray, who's playing great.
Yeah,
but he's that mold of, if you get him in more of a air raid ish type system where the reads are pretty built in and your receivers reading the routes. And I'm not saying the kid can't read defenses, because he can, but where your receivers co-reading it with you, the likelihood of having to adjust based on look is less, because you're going to read out everything. So I'd love to see him in something like that. There will be some disciples from that Cliff Kingsbury tree. I don't know when, but I think that tree is like the next one. Like, we had McVay and all those guys.
Right.
He's kind of next up. I mean, I don't know. What I worry about with Justin Fields isn't whether he can do it. It's that he's never been asked, because Ohio State, in my opinion, offense is so bad. It's not bad, right? But it's just so simplified and so built around just having better guys.
Yeah, better athletes. Yeah.
The game. When you then have to jump to the pro level where, now I have to do a side adjust backside and I'm hot here and I can't pass up this for this. That's my worry. And my even bigger worry with, say, Justin Fields is I do think he's talented enough to do it. But the way the NFL is, you got a year and a half. The second you suck for a year and a half, you're ran out of town. And if you're talking about, now we've got to teach this kid these side adjustments and all these others, that is what worries me. So I think the report about, hey, he can't read defenses, I don't think that's true. I think he wasn't asked to process information at a high level because they had simplified it so much. I'm sure he can do it, right? If he couldn't, Georgia wouldn't have recruited him, because Georgia's a high information team. And by all accounts, he did well in that system. You're not going to knock off a kid who just took him to the national title. So then he left. So for me, I think he probably can. I just think when you haven't been asked to, and then now you have to learn it, coupled with you're going to get drafted high and there's a ton of pressure with that. Good luck. I think he has, like we said, I think he has the skill set, and I think he could have a giant ceiling. I just don't know if anyone's going to have enough patience with him.
Yeah, my favorite play that he had was the one where you pointed out it was supposed to be a screen.
Yeah, and he ran
completely blown up, and then he just ran the path of the screen. That was amazing. Like, that guy, the kid has so much upside.
And he did it against Clemson.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing if he would have done it against, like, Indiana.
He's got
a bunch of Larry Birds chasing him. But no, man, he did it against Clemson. It was incredible.
Yeah. He's so much fun to watch, and he's definitely going to be high on the radar for a lot of fantasy people because of the running. And he's probably going to have to rely on that if he wants to succeed later down the line on the legs early. So that should boost his fantasy stock as well. But let's get to your favorite quarterback in this class. And it's Zach Wilson. And I kept having this debate. I've had Lawrence as my one forever. But between Wilson and Fields, I think the thing that knocks Wilson to me, and I am going to have him ahead of Fields, just barely slightly in my rankings, but his effect that he's been banged up a little bit at the college level, and his success was really only in 2020. Yeah. And, it was mainly against, like you said, those Indianas. You know, it was a lot of San Diego States and teams like that. It wasn't really, they weren't playing the big dogs too often.
Yeah.
You know, he had the one bad game against Coastal Carolina, of course, but, I tell you what, watching this guy throw the ball, he throws dimes that I just can't believe sometimes. Like, the accuracy that he has downfield is insane. You talked about the changing in his delivery to make the throw work is also amazing. So just tell us what the separator is for Zach Wilson versus Lawrence and Fields and the other guys in this class.
Yeah. So for me, when I was trying to figure out, okay, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, that's kind of where I came down on it. Justin Fields, I see everything you're saying, and I just didn't see him put enough on tape, and whether it was because he wasn't asked to or just he did it to really justify, hey, processing, he's a two. So when it came down to the difference between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, for me was, one, I think Zach Wilson has more arm angle ability, which is going to be really important as a rookie in the NFL. When you throw so much quick game and modified quick game, you have to be able to change your arm angle, just because everyone's going to be in, they're going to be in zero and they're going to be in hot situations so much, because D coordinators are just going to heat them up. So for that early success, that's important. What I saw from Zach Wilson was no real processing issues. And that's why I put him at one, because, like, granted, you're right. Hey, a lot of these teams, Houston, you know, these games are not strong. But I had to then zoom out and say, okay, well, granted, they weren't, but Trevor Lawrence's processing wasn't in the playoffs. It was in against Wake Forest. So for me, it's like, okay, now these are kind of apples to apples.
Right, right.
So when I looked at it from that perspective, I said, okay, I think he's shown enough to be one. And ultimately for me, my rankings aren't about where they'll get drafted.
Right. If you were any team, I would take this guy. I understand. Yeah.
And so I think he's extremely mobile. I think he's more mobile than maybe we think. The thing that I loved about him too was there's a play where they get Mike Sam. They get a little scrape off the edge. He's hot. It's off a play action, and he sees these guys running at him, immediately aborts his entire progression, flips his hips, and dumps it to his back. That's real big-time football. That
was the one where he was close to the goal line, right?
They were on like the 20-ish, and he throws it to the left. But and the running
back scored. I remember he had one of those hots like right by the goal line too.
So. Yeah, and so for me, it's like, on ESPN, it looks like a check down that goes for a touchdown.
Right.
But it's so much more than that when you understand that he's forced hot.
Was the first play. That was the first play you had on his video. Yep. I remember. Yeah.
And so I think it's so much more than that, because when he's forced hot, he then checks it down. And a lot of other guys who are in that situation where they say, you know, hey, we got a shot play called, I want to throw that, they would just end up throwing it.
Yeah, well, I remember Lawrence holding onto the ball a couple times on those, just trying to move around and make a play. So, I think Wilson is going to be moving a lot. Although, you know, in the fantasy world, it's going to be Fields ahead of Wilson every time, just because of the wheels. Just because
Definitely.
Of the wheels. And all of these, this is why I don't really like ranking the guys going into the draft at all for fantasy, because none of it matters until they're drafted for fantasy.
Oh, like,
when they're drafted for fantasy, then you go, okay, well, they got weapons, they have a good offensive line, or they don't, you know, so it changes everything and opportunity for a lot of them.
I think like a guy like Justin Fields, right? Like I think everyone probably has him really high up there, because you said the wheels. If all of a sudden he goes to Atlanta and they say the plan is to sit him for 2 years, he's got no value.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. What about Trey Lance? Now you have Trey Lance behind Mac Jones, which is uncommon among rankings for pretty much anyone, not just fantasy nerds. From what I've seen, Trey Lance, a lot of people have him ready, but I think Mac Jones might be one of the more pro-ready guys in this class, because Alabama, well, you know, I think runs a lot of pro concepts. That's the word I've heard. You know, I'm not the expert that you are. So tell us why Mac Jones over Trey Lance.
Yeah, so I'll start with Trey Lance. And Trey Lance has every tool you could possibly want. So Trey Lance, I see why people have him so high. I mean, everyone's saying that Atlanta's going to take him at 3 or 4 or whatever. So, you know, if that's the case, that's probably a perfect situation for him.
He can sit, yeah.
Yeah, here's my thing with Trey Lance. Everyone kills Mac Jones for playing with talent. Right? Everyone hates that he played with talent. Alabama.
His wide receiver won the Heisman. Yeah. You know, running backs are amazing. Going to be drafted in the first round. 3 first-round offensive linemen, all that stuff. Yeah.
Alabama, pound for pound, though, in the SEC, is nowhere near the talent differential that North Dakota State is when they play anyone else.
Would you call them a Power 5 playing in the FCS?
They are a Power 5 school playing in the FCS. I mean, there were multiple clips where North Dakota State, their tight end is open, and there's no one legitimately within 20 yards anywhere. Show me one Mac Jones clip like that. It doesn't exist. everyone crucifies him, and Devontae Smith is open by 3 yards, and they're like, oh, he's wide open. It's like, dude, go ahead and turn on any of these clips of this kid that you said is needs to be the third overall pick. It just – so that to me is already like – it just rubs me the wrong way. He was so game plan protected too from the aspect of all of their run action series and run action versus play action. So play action is just, hey, lines in pass pro, just the back and the quarterback fake. Run action is, hey, we're actually going to pull a guard, right? We're going to make, yeah. We're going to really sell this thing, but the protection's not as great, right? Because you're pulling people around and angles are changing. Their run action series is the difference between Alabama and North Dakota State is North Dakota State's run action series is built to go to one person, and that's who Trey hit every time. Alabama is built from an NFL model, which is here's your run action progression. Hey, this to this. Mm-hmm. So those are two different guys from a processing perspective too. Trey Lance is also one of those guys. If he goes somewhere that he has to play right away, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, where I would love to see Trey Lance personally is Carolina. And the reason I say that is because Trey Lance, if he goes, gets drafted by Carolina, Carolina will trade Teddy Bridgewater. And then my guy, P.J. Walker, can start, yeah. And then he'll just never give up the job. So that's why I'd love to see him in Carolina. But listen, I think Trey Lance, if he goes somewhere that he can sit and really diagnose the game and learn the game a little bit better, he has every single tool you would want, which is why he's getting run up these boards, because every quarterback coach in the NFL, just like me, has a giant ego and says, I can coach that.
Yeah.
You know, and they look at Mac Jones and they go, well, I can't coach him to have a cannon. Right. Again, though, that also got us Ryan Leaf run up a draft board and Jamarcus Russell. I mean, listen, you know, in Denver, the most toolsy guy they've ever drafted outside of John was Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
A lot of people wish that would have never happened. So for me, it's like I get the tools. I just thought there was a lot left to really left you wanting for from a football IQ perspective on tape. And then recently there's been a big kick of everyone saying, hey, you know, Trey Lance was doing this, this, and this at the line of scrimmage. And everything that's getting said right now sounds awesome if you studied journalism. But if you played football, it's functionally impossible to do the things that they're saying was done. Like if you were really going up and picking the protection, the play call would be something like in the NFL, it'd be double right, scat right, wide dog highway. Scat's the protection. What they're essentially saying North Dakota State said was double right, scat choice, Trey, you pick, wide dog, and then you pick the backside. Okay, ready, break. So that means you go up to the line of scrimmage. You go four down, 52's the mic. Hey, Ricky, Ricky, we're going to go right. And then you go set up, wait, 20, wait, 20, hold on, hold on. Oh, safety rotation, hold on, Lucy, Lucy, Q, Deuce, backside sight. Okay, you're wide dog, you're highway. It just... if that was actually going on.
Yeah, the play clock would have ran out.
or you would have been able to see it on the tape. Right. He wasn't an orchestrator. The center pointed the mic. So for me, it's like, dude, you can sell it all you want, and I appreciate what the guys are trying to do. If someone hires you as an agent and a coach, you need to try to help him.
Sure.
So I appreciate what they're trying to do, but it's just like the narrative that's getting pushed right now around his football IQ to me is one of those that it's like, I appreciate what they're saying, but the people that are retweeting it to me, it's like, dude, you must not know the game. Cause it's actually impossible. So that's kind of a bummer, but you know, everything I've heard from his work ethic perspective though, fantastic. The kid's probably going to be lights out once he gets somewhere. So I think that's why I'm not as high on him. Now, Mac Jones, you know, I love his game. I think everything we were sold to about him was a lie. He doesn't have a baby arm. He's not going to be an upper echelon cannon, but he has enough to – he's going to be a, you know, middle of the pack arm strength, which is fine. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, middle of the pack arm strength.
Right.
So they worked out. And the thing about Mac Jones, I was privy to a conversation. I just believe he's the kind of kid that is going to keep a hit list of QBs drafted in front of him and make sure he's the last one standing. The
Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah. And if there's anything that I've learned from hearing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady talk, getting someone who's psychotic about competition is going to help him be an NFL quarterback. And it's the hardest job on planet Earth, and anything you can do to kind of say, oh, I think he's got the character for it, that's going to help.
Absolutely. I love hearing that. Now, before we let you go here, a couple guys past that. You broke down Jamie Newman. You liked him. You broke down Mills. You didn't like him. And we haven't seen the video yet, but you've made the video for Trask, and that's going to be coming out soon. So real quick, between those three, who do you like between Trask, Newman? Obviously, Mills is way down there. We don't even need to talk about him. But Trask and Newman, who do you like better?
Newman, to me, is the Dak Prescott of this class. Newman's the kid that I think you can grab late, and I think he could end up being a really big-time starting quarterback. The thing that you got to get to the bottom of with Newman is what happened at Georgia. I have no idea. Did he opt out because of family? Did he opt out because other people are saying he got beat out? You got to get to the bottom of that. But everything
I can't imagine he got beat out at Georgia last year. That was rough going into the season. So
I agree, and it's one of those things too that, like, you know, I wish someone at Georgia would just come out and say, like, here's what happened, right? Like, hey, the kid was doing great for us, but his poor mom or whatever. Like, everyone could understand then. So that's what you got to get to the bottom of. To me, Jamie Newman though is the kid that you take high value. Kyle Trask, I think, is a borderline starter, but I do think, and this isn't an insult, I think he's Kellen Clemens-ish of you could get him in and he could start, he could win games, but boy, could he be a really good organizational two. And then think about it from the aspect of if we get him some reps and he performs, now I can go ahead and deal him to San Francisco, you know, for a bunch of first-round picks.
Right.
So Kyle Trask is the kind of kid that I think is a good from an organizational perspective. Davis Mills, I wish him the best. And I always have a hard time really coming down on these guys because I was this kid one day wanting to make it. But Davis Mills, I just don't see. I don't know if he's going to be on an NFL roster next year. I think he's got, you know, I think
a lot of people love him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that love him. I just, you know, there was a lot of stuff on tape. He's the only kid that I've had in this draft class where I had to, like, cut out some bad clips. Like, this one's not going to make it, like, but it's there.
Right.
Everyone else is kind of like, okay, here were the, of the three games,
trim down the good clips, you know, right?
The eight. Yeah. And let's trim down. Okay. This touchdown was wide open. Let's take that off. So that's why I just, he'll probably prove me wrong and he'll end up being a Hall of Famer and the best quarterback in this class. And so be it. So
Brady was a 6th-round pick. You know, that's what everybody says. So, you know, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to more breakdowns. I love them, and I love your positivity, Tim. It's great. You know, and the way you do stuff and explain it, and don't worry about people saying you rewind too much. You don't. So
I appreciate you.
Everything looks good on my end, so I love it. Yeah. So tell everyone your Twitter again and the work you're doing now and where they can find you on all the social media platforms.
Yeah, so it's just at TJenkinsElite, and I really only post on Twitter and Instagram. I do some breakdown stuff on Instagram, but I would love it, and I would love any fantasy advice.
Of course.
And maybe you can just have me on at the beginning of next season and just laugh at my draft, because that's usually what happened. So when I tell you that I have three tight ends, you can just say, listen, man, there's no way to fix you.
we don't need blocking tight ends, you know, just take Travis Kelce early and be happy with it. That's what But all right. Well, I appreciate you having on. We'll try to get you on again before the season starts for sure. So
appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much,
man. This guy, he just brings energy, doesn't he? He's so great. I mean, he's just always upbeat, always with the energy, even when he's criticizing the guys, you know, like he said, hey, I was that guy. I was that Davis Mills at one point. So I don't want to be too hard on him, but you know, he kind of lays it out, tells it like it is. So his videos are a lot of fun. Check him out on YouTube. You just type in Tim Jenkins and they'll come up. So, you know, I found them just on, because I've been watching so many of these videos, they just were a suggested one for me. So, great guy. Who do you guys like? Let me know at Bogman Sports on Twitter. Is there someone kind of, do you guys think there's a diamond in the rough in this class, or are you guys with me where it's kind of these top five, a couple other stragglers in the second or third, and then everybody else? I mean, look, I'm not breaking news here. That's what most classes are anyway, but I don't know. I feel like every once in a while, there's a guy that gets drafted later, like Easton Stick. You know what I mean? That I kind of like Peterman too. That one didn't really play out very well, obviously. But there's those guys that have a chance and then don't make it. I mean, I also like Dak Prescott, and that obviously did work out. So You know, I just don't see much that I like. I think a lot of these guys have the right attitude. You know, I think Sam Ehlinger has a killer personality and attitude. And like Tim was mentioning, is one of those psychos, you know, that is going to have a chip in on his shoulder coming into the NFL. But I don't know, man. He's got a long way to climb. So I would love to see him on my Steelers. Obviously, we're going to need a long-term option at some point, but I don't know if he gets drafted. He's going to be a borderline guy, I bet. So that's all I got for you guys today. Like I said at the top of the show, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. If you get in there at lieutenant level or higher, we got group me rooms for you. And if you're just as a sergeant, we got rankings. We got fantasy baseball rankings, fantasy football rankings. The Welsh has his minor league rankings all over the place. We do secret shows. You know, so we got a ton coming up. And for draft month next month, I do a live stream for all 3 days of the draft. So I know that doesn't always excite everyone, obviously, but I will also rank these guys as they get drafted. I don't see a lot of value in ranking these guys before they get drafted because so much of their value is tied into their landing spot, of course. If you're in a Debbie League, I mean, hit me up. Ask me. App Ogden Sports, like I said, or, of course, if you're in the Army, feel free to send me a question at any time about these guys, and I'll tell you my opinion. And if you should trade for them or trade them away before the draft, however it works, you know, I would be more than happy to answer those questions for you guys. But the real value comes to once you know where they are. Who are they behind? Who are they in competition with? Who's their quarterback? Is their offensive line good? You know, there's all kinds of questions. You know, I want to rank these guys more after the draft, but I will have, of course, my opinions of them before the draft too, which is what we're doing on this show. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hit me up at Bogman Sports on Twitter, and I will see you guys later. Take it easy, everybody.